Welcome, welcome, everybody. Invite you to please stand. Let's start today by giving praise to our King. That's my King.
I wish I could tell you, wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. Not enough colors to paint the whole picture, not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy is merciful and powerful. Who we talking about? That's my King. We declare the glory. Give him all the honor. Altogether worthy. Who we talking about? That's my King. There's no one before you. Yes, we will adore you. All of this is for you. Who we talking about?
Seated.
Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Matthew. I'm the next gen director here, which means I get to hang out with our youth, our young adults, having fun talking about Jesus. Hey, this week we got a ton happening, so I would encourage you to take a look at your program. One of my first introductions to the whole Timberwood body, all of us coming together, was our Thanksgiving pie service, and I loved it. It was awesome getting to meet some new faces, get to continue growing in some relationships that I had started making. Well, that's happening again this week on Tuesday, and I want to invite you, come and celebrate Thanksgiving with us. We can be thankful together, praising our Lord, having fellowship together, and there's going to be pie, and I love pie. So join us there. It's happening this Tuesday at 6:30 in this room. To make that happen, we need some help, though, from setting up to tearing down and everything in between. If you're interested in helping, you can scan that QR code in your program and sign up to help or bring a pie or things like that. Or you can just show up and eat some good pie. Because we're having that on Tuesday, we will not be having our Wednesday night programming this week. So you can look to join us for that in December again. And then as we enter into the Christmas season, we think it's a good idea to stop and take a second to pray. And by a second, I mean a whole week. We would love to invite you to join us in that, where we are asking that you, everyone, our body, takes a commitment to pray for an hour one day or an hour every single day. But we want to blanket the first week of Advent with prayer, covering every hour. So you can scan the QR code again in your program and sign up for a time slot. You can sign up for multiple time slots. You can, if it's during the day, we have a prayer room that you can come here to pray, or you can do it at home. We have some prayer prompts for you to kind of guide your time. But it would be an awesome experience if we as a body could be praying together that whole week. So we invite you to participate with that. And then if you're new here or you've been around a while, but you're still trying to figure out, okay, what's Timberwood about? Who are we? Why do you experience the things that you experience here? I want to invite you to come check out our Getting to Know Timberwood meeting during second service. It's happening during second service in room 101. We would love to see you there just to give you a little bit more about why you experience what you do here. It's also part one of our membership process. So if you're interested in that, come check that out. This card is in the seat in front of you. If you take a second, fill this out. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can connect with you. And then on the back, there's a spot for prayer requests or praises. We would love to pray with you. We would love to come alongside and lift you up this week. Whatever you got going on, big, medium, small, we would love to pray with you. Would you pray with me now? Jesus, you are our King. You are our good, faithful Savior, Creator. You are the one who loves us more than we could ever know. And you draw close to us. And so today, we turn to worship you. We turn to give you praise. We turn to tune our hearts to you. Would you meet us in this space? Would you be active and moving among us? We know that you are here already. Would we feel your presence? Would we tune our hearts and our minds and our ears and our bodies to engage with you? We love you. In your name. Oh, I almost forgot. Would you join me with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, we are in for something different today. The last few years, we've been having what we call a song service in late November. Today is that day. And so we love the idea of singing together, but this will take it a step further where we'll get an introduction to each song to get kind of a background of the meaning of the song. So we won't have a typical sermon today, but all these intros will add up to a sermon, preaching and teaching today. And our staff members have typically done these song intros, but instead today we've just asked a wide variety of congregants to come on up and lead those intros. So looking forward to hearing from them about the background of these songs, how the Holy Spirit has been leading them. And when I think about the ways that God uses music to inspire worship, a helpful phrase for me for a long time has been revelation and response. This means that we look at the meaning of the lyrics, the experience of the music, and how they point us to the character and the works of God, found in scripture, found in creation, found in the variety of ways that he makes himself known. And then we ask for his help to respond with humility and thankfulness, with praise and a dependent determination to follow him. So just a brief example, if you look at Psalm 19, right at the beginning, the revelation of God begins as it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And then it goes on to say that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, teaches us how to live a life that is pleasing to God. At the end of the same chapter, verse 14, the response is, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So if we were to say that as a prayer, and let's actually just do that. Let's pray. Lord, as I experience your revelation through the wonder of creation, and the beauty, the truth, the power of your word, help me to respond with a life of enjoying your presence and following your ways. Amen. And so as we experience this together, let's use that prayer as a guide for us. Revelation of response. Who is God? How do we respond to him in humility and thankfulness and praise today? I'm going to invite Don Lenzen to come on up and introduce the first song.
Well, good morning. It's an honor and privilege to share my thoughts about this wonderful new worship song by Phil Wickham, a prolific artist with a heart for the Lord and worship. We who believe that Christ lived and died on the cross for our sin have a resurrection story. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Think about that for a minute. God is intimately acquainted with you, every aspect of your life. He knows your success. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he knows your pain. Phil Wickham reminds us that God is the author of our lives, who encounters us and draws us to himself. In each of our stories, God gets all the glory. The song opens with who we were before our encounter with God. We were the thief on the cross. We were the beggar, the blind man crying out, is there someone to help me see? We were the leper, the prodigal, the woman reaching out to touch the hem of his garment. We were desperate for a miracle, but Jesus comes along and opens our eyes and he saves our lives. In the chorus, we repeat the phrase, one word, one touch, one encounter with the King, and my life has never been the same. This has been so true for me. My life is filled with encounters that can only be called God moments. He did it through people I have met, opportunities that came along in life that changed me, God's healing, God's blessings, and God's people who were there at the right time to comfort, to stand beside, to encourage, and to pray. We will also sing one cross, 3 days, then you rolled the stone away and called my name, and now I'm running out of the grave. In my life, I have encountered God's love and grace more times than I can count. I have seen him work miracles and move what were mountains for me. God is faithful in all that he does, and he continues to be faithful. I love in particular the phrase in verse 3, I was a dead man in the tomb. Sure, I had lost the fight. But listen, even death answers to you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we do not fear death. Christ conquered death on the cross. Even though we may have lost someone we loved, we can open our eyes and be alive to what God wants us to be as we move forward in life. In verse 3, we sing, you said, child, open your eyes. And I came alive, I came alive. Well, how do we respond to these wonderful things that God by his Spirit does for us? We're going to sing these words, you alone get the glory, which we repeat in the chorus and the verses. In the bridge of the song, Wickham writes, I want to dance, I want to sing, because that's what happens when you encounter the King. In the same way, we need to find joy and happiness in our worship as we celebrate the wonderful things that Christ, through his death and resurrection, has provided for us as we live our lives for him with love, joy, and peace. Today, if you haven't had an encounter with Jesus as you sing these words, consider that today can be the beginning of your resurrection story. Join me in worship as the worship team leads us in this wonderful song of praise and victory, Resurrection Story.
Please stand, let's celebrate together.
I was a thief upon the cross, I was a beggar on the street, like a blind man crying out, is there someone to help me see? And you arrived, opened up my eyes. I was a leper in the cold. One encounter with the King, and my life has never been the same. You alone get the glory in my resurrection story. One cross, 3 days, then you roll the stone away. Call my name now, running out the grave. You alone get the glory in my resurrection story.
Please be seated.
Hi, I'm John Doty. Actually, John Doty, I think there's a little typo in the program, but music can be such an important and vital tool in our lives. It can be used to pump us up before a sporting competition. It can calm us down. It can even transport us back in time, sparking long-lost memories. But one thing that's often overlooked is how music can bring people together. Whether you're dancing to Footloose with your in-laws at a wedding, or you're arm-in-arm singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Wrigley, music becomes a common ground where we can just leave our baggage at the door. In our home, we value giving our kids experiences, and some of our greatest memories have occurred at the Christian music festivals that we've attended. Now, if you're unsure if you've ever felt the Holy Spirit at work, I strongly encourage you to attend one of these festivals. It's really hard to be in the presence of thousands of people worshiping together and not feel the Holy Spirit. This past summer, we went to Life Fest in Oshkosh. One of the many memories of that trip that stands out above all, the band We Are Messengers was on stage. And they encouraged anyone who was struggling with mental health to raise their hand if they needed prayer. In front of me, this young lady with bright dyed hair, tattoos, covered in piercings, just raised her hand just shakily, you know, and behind her, this weathered hand reaches out, rests on her shoulder. And Darren from We Are Messengers says his prayer. And when it's all done, she lifts her head and meets the eyes of this guy that I can only describe as your stereotypical Wisconsin farmer, Carhartt bibs, despite 80-degree heat. And she just bursts into tears, and they embrace this huge hug. These two people that nothing in common, probably more likely adversaries in many ways, just united in that moment by Christ and by prayer, by music. That's what Matt Maher's song, Who Jesus Is, reminds me of. Admittedly, Eric asked me to introduce the song, and I didn't know it. So I put the song on repeat, closed my eyes, and just listened. Who is this Jesus? Who is this man? Who's seen me at my worst and loves me as I am? Who is this Jesus who calls my name to come and follow him and leave behind my shame? It's a reminder that we all have baggage. We're all flawed. But Jesus meets us right where we are despite knowing all of that. If the King of Kings can look past all that he knows that I've done to him and still loves me completely, then I must look past the flaws that I perceive in others and love them if I truly want to say I follow Jesus. As we sing this song, I want to encourage you to really pay attention to the lyrics, especially the bridge. The Lord of all, the King of Kings. Could it be he's who he says he is? If we truly believe that, how can we not want more of who Jesus is? There's freedom and unity if we accept his offer and walk with him.
Well, please stand. Let's respond together. Who is this Jesus? Who is this man? Who's seen me at my worst and loves me as I am? Who is this Jesus who calls my name to come and follow him and leave behind my shame? If this is what mercy looks like, if this is where freedom lives, I want more. More of who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus? Arms open wide. The only saving name the desperate heart can cry. Friend of the fearful, unfailing hope, the promise we will never have to walk alone. He is the promise we will never have to walk alone. If this is what mercy looks like, if this is where freedom lives, I want
more of who Jesus is.
And please be seated.
I was told it was going to be on. Hallelujah, a word of Hebrew origin that means praise the Lord. It is an expression of joy and thankfulness, rejoicing in the goodness of God. To speak or sing it is to worship the Holy One with a heart of deep gratitude for his unfailing love, mercy, and grace. It's easy to praise the Lord and worship him when life is going well, when it's calm, predictable, and going as planned. But when the tides turn and the waves of life come rolling in, it gets harder to sing hallelujah and truly mean it. The lyrics in this next song, titled Hallelujah in the Hard Things by Brian and Katie Torwalt, are so countercultural to how our world functions. I mean, you can't even get through the title without raising an eyebrow. Rich in themes of pain, suffering, trials, faith, peace, and hope, Hallelujah in the Hard Things is a call to worship God in all things as an act of trust and surrender. To trust God is more than just a feeling. It is a confident and secure dependence on him. To surrender is to choose the pathway to true freedom, purpose, and fulfillment. It's making the decision to relinquish control, allowing God to step in and take the lead. It's not easy to trust and surrender, especially when we can't physically see the person we are handing the reins over to. It's not easy to be patient and keep the faith when our lives hold a lot of question marks and God is asking us to wait. It's not easy reaching the end of ourselves, falling to our knees in anguish, crying out to God with big, ugly alligator tears, begging him to come to our rescue, to take this hard thing that we've been carrying and do something, anything, to make it better. It is so hard to accept the limitations of our human capabilities. So often we try to navigate the hard things of this life in our own time and by our own strength. We try to make sense of the things that don't, and we hold tight to the plans and preparations that we've made and held on to. We're humans, and this is how humans typically operate. But what if we didn't do what humans typically do, and instead chose to trust the Father? God is who he says he is, and does what he says he will do. What if God is waiting to show up in ways that only God can? Even in the hard things, God is working all things for good. This song has become a new favorite of mine. It is what has calmed the raging sea of anxiety within me on so many occasions. It's the song that reminds me of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the song that reminds me that God never stops working, never sleeps, never leaves me. One final thought from Brian and Katie. This song was born out of the realization that worship isn't only for the mountaintops. It's for the valleys too. Hallelujah in the Hard Things is our prayer and declaration that even when life doesn't make sense, God is still worthy of our hallelujah.
Thank you, Kate. Let's please stand and sing that together. Hallelujah in the Hard Things.
Well, I'm facing mountains so high that I can barely see. But you did not promise there won't be pain or suffering, but here in the valley is where I find you on my knees. So I can still say hallelujah in the hard things. You are my strength. Find me in the heartache, blessing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, and I can still say, Lord, and I can still say hallelujah in the hard things, hard things, in the hard things. Hallelujah in the hard things, hard things, in the hard things.
I'm fighting battles my flesh and blood may never win, but by the Spirit I'm standing strong, not giving in. 'Cause what you started, I know you will finish it.
So I can still say
so delighted to be given this song called The Church's One Foundation. The last 2 weeks listening to the song over and over made me think of my grandparents singing the same song. These are some thoughts that I had. Our friends who build and design buildings will tell us that one of the most important pieces is the support for the structure, the foundation on which it's built. If the foundation is solid, the building will be sturdy and stable. If the structural support is faulty, the building is susceptible to collapse. As the building ages, we may notice cracks or signs of settling, indicating need for repair. Our church foundation is similar. As Christians, our commitment and basic foundation is alive and dedicated to Jesus Christ. Our eyes turn to that foundation, Jesus, our faith, when we build or rebuild. A familiar story to us in the Bible is about the time when, in the midst of a huge storm, Jesus called one of his disciples to step out of the boat to walk on water. Being Christian, being committed to Jesus, This is where we face him, our faith foundation. Just imagine him out there on the rough waters, looking us in the eye. We see him strong, solid, and with a hand reaching for us. I'm guessing I would be very afraid at that moment, as they say, vulnerable, and very rushed to decide. I hope that I'm willing and that I've practiced my faith enough so that my actions are automatic, and I know in my soul this is the direction I will go. How about you? Are you willing? Are all of us in this room open to his invitation to join him? I think if all of you were with me, it would be easier to grab his hand, hold on tight, and step out of the boat. Sometimes when I face my struggles, I would prefer to do anything to avoid them. Sometimes I'm scared to love because it costs me something. Sometimes I want to be the person who will reach for his hand rather than turn and run. This is when the foundation of faith comes alive. The one who calls me will be there when I start to sink. I know he will hold me and guide me. He has held me. I think when we talk about church, Jesus wants our foundation to be open to various ways in which we seek truth and understanding. I think it's rooted in various spiritual practices and the biblical word. I think church is a space where we can have doubt, ask questions, and be willing to change. I believe that the church is a place where the participants believe that all human beings are created in the image of God, and when we look to Jesus, we will always be taught how to love those various humans in our lives. That means that we offer dignity to differences we may have with seeing different abilities, to have racial differences culturally and socioeconomically. I dream of a church as a place where all people feel welcome and supported, and their gifts grow them to be leaders of Jesus. I pray that God's grace will unite us in that, and we will feel that foundation more than ever, and we'll feel it all together. We are not perfect. We don't agree on everything. We have made mistakes and we have sinned. But when we open our hearts and feel how we fell short of love, we will then seek forgiveness and help from God, and we are committed to the work of healing. Let us stand firm today and say that Jesus rose from the dead to reveal not even the worst we can do nor death itself can separate us from the firm foundation of God's love.
Thanks, Carla. Let's stand together, sing to Jesus, our foundation, our salvation.
Christ. My name is Danny, not John. So the next song that we're going to sing is a song called Jesus Does. When I first listened to this song, I was drawn in by, of course, the amazing things that God can do in the world. The first verse paints this picture pretty clearly as God is the creator and giver of all beautiful things. He's the one who tells the sun to rise every morning. He's the one who wakes us with new mercy, who holds the orphan, comforts the widow. These are simple reminders that God is actively sustaining his world and his people, and we worship him because of who he is. As I kept listening, though, what really stood out to me was the gift of grace. And not just grace as an idea, but grace as a power that actually changes people and changes us. The first two lines of the chorus say, "So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us." And, you know, obviously this truth is central to our faith, as God didn't just save us and then leave us. He gave us his Spirit, a helper, his presence, alive and active within us. And I know I can relate to this from a very real place. Music has always been a passion of mine. It's something I've worked extremely hard at, something that I tied and grounded my identity to. But over time, God's grace and Spirit really transformed my heart. It became more than just a skill or something that I worked hard and was okay at. I realized that it was a gift from him to use so we can all praise him together as a community. And I feel the last two lines of this song really encapsulate the message of this song. It says, "When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was," because that's what Jesus does. Jesus Christ, he saves us from our old selves and continues his work in us so that we can participate and live a cross-shaped life as Jesus did and continues to do. In the Bible, it brings to mind Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, where Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me." I think this is a beautiful reminder that the impact of the cross is not only something that happened to Jesus, it's something that happens in us. His death and resurrection give us the power to keep growing as individuals and as a community. And for me, just little things like joining a group here at church, asking people how they're really doing, just trying to care from the heart. These tiny steps began to shift how I interacted with my friends, my family, this community, my marriage. And I realized that God uses little moments to shape our community. I think this is the difference when Christ lives within us. And by no means am I perfect, because then I mess up pretty bad. And I think, I mean, I feel super guilty. I'm sure a lot of us feel really guilty. We think we should know better, and that's because we kind of do know better. But Jesus stays right in it with us so we can try it again, and that's that grace coming around. Verse 2 gets into who understands the heart of a sinner, who showers his grace with all of our mistakes. Jesus does. And so as we move into this song, I want to invite you to reflect on the impact of Jesus' radical love through what he does. With Christ living within us, we are continually shaped. And when we stumble back into things that we thought we were past, he doesn't give up on us. And because of that, it has the power to truly transform us. Let's all stand and worship together.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the earth, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. I was a sinner, save me from who I was.
showers his grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings the song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the keys to hell and the grave? Who has the power to save? Jesus does.
Conversation with someone and they say a word that you don't quite recognize, or maybe you're the one saying the unknown word. Somebody asks, what does that word mean? And you both realize that neither of you know. You search the depths of your mind to figure out how to describe this word that you both know but can't explain. Well, this happened to me about 2 weeks ago when I was asked to write this. I sat with the song, listened to it a couple of times, and realized that I didn't actually know what two of the words meant. So, wait, sorry, I'd heard them my whole life. I'd said them myself even, but didn't know their meaning. Just in case you're in the same boat as me, the two words were hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah, as we previously heard, means praise the Lord. And amen is a statement of affirmation or agreement. It's typically used in a declaration of truth. So if I said something like, by God's grace, I'm forgiven, either of those words could be used as a response. The next song is called Song of the Saints by Phil Wickham. And in the song, we repeat hallelujah and amen often. The song talks about how God is our Father, the Creator, the King of Heaven, and he gave us his Son, Jesus. He poured out his Spirit for us, gave us the life-saving gospel of his Son for our redemption story. He gave us the blood that washes us clean, the cross to save us, and he gives us comfort in our pain. He can heal, resurrect, redeem, and so much more. Because of this, we should believe in his truths. Sing hallelujah and amen forever. Give him glory and know that he is the way and the truth. We praise and believe in God not just because of what he's done, but what he will and can do in our lives. The song highlights the things that God gave us, the things he can do, and what we can do in response to those things, all while emphasizing our praise and agreement with him. Forever he reigns. Let our praise to him fill the skies.
Thank you. Well, please stand. Let's sing together.
we believe that we have a Father, Creator who was and who is and will be, who sent us His Son and poured out His Spirit with power to heal, resurrect, and redeem. The song of the saints forever will be. Glory to God the Father. Glory to Christ the risen one. All hail the King with heaven sing. Hallelujah. This we believe, that we have a Savior, Jesus the Christ, for our sin crucified. Returning, and He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Our crowns at His feet, His throne at the center, the song of the saints forever will rise. Amen.
Today was such a beautiful picture, as we just concluded, of Revelation, where all voices come together to worship the same God. And we believe that the Holy Spirit has empowered each one of us to speak the truth. As John talked about last week, the Great Commission is to go and to declare what God has done in our lives, and that's what we just saw. A beautiful picture of the empowerment of the Spirit, that all voices are welcome to come and declare here who Jesus is, what he has done in their lives, and then to encourage all of us to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with our voice that God has given us to use for his good. Go with that challenge.